Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 23, and the Bible verse is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3, and it reads, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, they would break down their walls of stone." The book of Nehemiah is a lovely book for us, especially since we are working for the Lord, we will understand a lot of how the Lord works, that we may not even have it on our agenda to be used in the way that God ends up using us, but it turns out that it does. One of the things that we see, even at the beginning of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah had a job working for the king. And one day, one of his brothers comes in, and he asked him about the remnant, the people who left after they were exiled, and then they were to go back into the land where they had been taken out of. And not all people went. Some people actually supported those who went back. And actually, I don't always understand whether that was what God intended or whether God just used what they didn't do. But what happened is that when the Israelites misbehaved, God exiled them. In fact, we in Jeremiah, where we are right now, they're just about to be exiled. They're just about to be taken out of that land. And what we see in Nehemiah is after the 70-year period, now God is bringing people back. And people did come back, but there was it was not an easy comeback because they started the projects that God had in mind for them to do, the rebuilding of the temple and things like that, but they stopped it because of persecution that they got from the people who had stayed in the land or who were in the land when they came back. And so in Nehemiah 4, when we get to Nehemiah 4, and then what happened too is that Nehemiah wept when he found out that the people who had gone back were in trouble and the land was in trouble. And he was moved through prayer to ask the king to help him to get back to Israel so that he could help his people. And when he got there, he organized the people to rebuild that wall around Jerusalem. And that's always, of course, an indication to us. We definitely have to keep in mind that there is an adversary, and we want a strong wall around what God is doing in our lives. So in Nehemiah 4, the enemies that were against the people rebuilding was led by two people, Sanballat and Tobiah. And what they did is that they were threatening the people, trying to get them to stop doing what they were doing. And when you think about it, that is exactly how the devil works now. When I was a kid, they used to have a word in my neighborhood, they would call it, or a little phrase, they would call it selling wolf tickets. And what it meant is that usually a bully's mouth was usually bigger than their fists. The bully could talk a big talk. The talk was usually bigger than what they could actually put out. And so sometimes people could see through that and they would say, well, that person is just selling wolf tickets, you know. And this is what Sanballat and Tobiah, This was their mode of operandi, because this is the devil's mode of operandi, selling wolf tickets, because the devil is not stronger than the Lord of our life. He's not. And the devil can talk a big talk. And what I have found in my own life is that I have to stop listening to him. I have to stop, and I've shared this what I've had in my mind sometimes when I'm having one of those days where the devil is just trying to beat me up with the things that it is saying in my head. It's like God has placed me in this beautiful house, a beautiful house with lovely windows that light comes in. And the thing about the windows is that they are shatterproof, they are bulletproof, they are everything. I don't have to worry. Nobody, even with the windows in the house, they're strong enough to keep that enemy out of it. But there is an enemy that stands outside of the house selling wolf tickets, talking about how he's going to wring my neck and knock me over and whatever. Well, I have a choice. I can stand by that window, and I can be listening to what the enemy is saying and get all bent out of shape and whatever. Or I can go back into the center of the heart of the house, and sit at the feet of my Savior and find out what it is that I should be doing to help build the kingdom and things like that. And so this is, an example of somebody doing it right, in Nehemiah 4, because Sanballat and Tobiah are mocking him, but they can't touch him because Nehemiah has the hand of the Lord on him. And Nehemiah prays. He goes to God for help. And then after he goes to God, he goes to the people. And he encourages the people to keep working despite the threats. And again, that is something that we can learn in our own life, is that when you're having one of those days where the demon is just walking all up and down your backbone, you can hear the voices and whatever, do what Nehemiah did. He prayed. He prayed, but he didn't stop there. He prayed. And he encouraged. He prayed and he encouraged. This is why this ministry of Bible for Food is a ministry of encouragement. That we don't just go to the Lord and, hear a good word and then go about our life. No, everything that God has given to us has been given for the benefit of many. For many. And it actually acts as a safeguard for us, in that when we are feeding the sheep of God, when we are sharing with others what we are learning, we are actually feeding ourselves too. We're getting part of that benefit because we hear it. We remember. It fans up the remembrance of who God is and what he has done in our lives. And this is why, once you have become abstinent, we talk, a lot of times they talk about the 90 days, but it may not be exactly 90 days, it might be less or more, but once you get what I call the sea legs, where that this is, going back to the food is not optional to you. Because you have decided to really passionately follow the Lord. But once you have done that, work with someone else. Help someone else to have that resolve regarding this besetting sin of food. The besetting sin of food is, besetting sin is bad enough, I'm telling you. But to have one where you're going to have to deal with the sin on a daily basis in an effort to get nutrition in your body. And so, we can't just go on a, a fast, a complete fast, meaning that that's what we do for the rest of our lives, we'll perish if that would happen. But we can do what the Bible talks about, a partial fast, where we stay away from those things, the foods, the particular foods. We stay away from amounts, huge amounts of food, where once we get finished, if we have a meal, then we feel like what they call a beach whale, where we're sitting on the couch and we can't even move because of the foods, that the amount of food that we have weighed and measured, and it still just wants to knock us out. That's not the output of what we are trying to do, you know, in when we talk about God honoring eating. We indeed stay away from certain foods, but we are very clear the amounts of the food is important as well, because we are not relying on food to do something that only God is designed to do. God is designed to comfort us and to direct us. It is not about us, you know, thinking that food has some divine or magical power to put something in order for us. I was chuckling in my mind because what came in my mind, I was, my husband and I were briefly watching, we had watched Jeopardy is what we usually watch, but after that it was a basketball game on, and we were noticing that the basketball players now wear these bright colored shoes, and my husband said, why in the world do they have those shoes on? He says, they are distracting to me. And I said, well, I do remember my our daughter saying something about, you know, how people are mesmerized by these shoes and thinking that they have some type of, you know, it makes them run better or what. And my husband just laughed. He chuckled. He said, yeah, I remember when I was like that, but I was a kid, he said. He said, I was a kid, and there was a brand of basketball shoes, he said, that I thought if I got them, it would actually make me jump higher in trying to do the baskets. And he said, I got those shoes on and put them on, and he said he was disappointed, but he knew that was just hype and whatever. And we live in a world of a lot of hype, and we have to deal with a devil that likes to hype. And when the big hype that some of us are still dealing with, and that hype of the food, that the food, that if we get our food in order, we are somehow missing out on something. That, no, and actually, the devil gives us a word to help us to get more into the lie. And that word is legalism. Now, I'm not going to be a legalist. I'm going to have, you know, freedom to do what I want to do. But again, that is a misuse of even legalism. We're not talking legalism. Legalism, it would be if we were saying that you got to do this, you got to do it this way, and if you don't do it this way, you are going to die and go to hell. You know, that is so not what we're saying in Bible for food. Not at all. We know that the blood of Christ is the only way that a person will have eternal life. It's the only way. And so I always want to make sure that on any given meeting that I keep saying that, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, if you don't have the assurance that your name is written in heaven, I would say fall on your knees, raise your hands, and ask the Lord to give you understanding of Jesus Christ, the sin bearer. He will take away your sins, and he will give you a new heart. He will put his spirit inside of you that will move you along and will straighten you up. And you can be like a Nehemiah in that your prayers, you will see the power of your prayers, because you're praying in the power of all that Jesus has done. And that is a magnificent way to live. But also praying in that way is the discouragement destroyer. I had one of those days yesterday. I don't know what was going on. I don't even try anymore to figure out what in the world is going on in that. But I woke up and, I mean, I wasn't even on my feet very long that I kind of could hear the voices in my head, like, oh, like this, you know, it's so much to do, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, and whatever. I have been that road before. I know this. That's a lie. A lie from the evil one, because this is what I do know, that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he directs what I do in the 24 hours. The problem is that when I don't take the time to hear his direction and to call on the Spirit to keep me walking in the direction that he has given to me, that I get into pride and thinking that I got this, and I start making my plans and making them the way it should go. And I can usually find out when I am going in the wrong direction, because I get discouraged very, very easily because I am not staying very close to the Lord. And I'm not praying very much. I'm just going on fumes and going about my business. So yesterday, when I heard that horde behind me, I made up my mind to set that timer that I talked about. And I made up my mind, too, that every time that timer went off, regardless of what I was doing, I was going to stop, drop, and pray. And it didn't take very long for my day to start turn around, because the devil hates sincere prayer, where I am calling on the name of the Lord. And when I say the name of the Lord Jesus, that means that I am bringing to my remembrance all that he has done for me. Jesus is God, who took on the form of a man and died a horrible death, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. I need that forgiveness so that I am not looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm not elbowing people off because they are getting, on my nerves. And I'm not fearful that I'm not going to get done what God has called me to get done. If God has called me to do something, he has equipped me, or he wants to equip me through his word. And he also has the perfect timing of how things are going to unfold. But let me pray. Father, I want to see my pride in my anxiety and also in my discouragement, where I have these prideful, lofty goals for my life, and again, putting myself in the center, letting the light shine on me, and to forget that that center belongs to you, because you're the only one, Lord, that brings eternal life. Father, help me to be a wise woman of God, that when I stop and drop and pray today, that I also surrender my heart so that discouragement is far, far from me, and productivity, you know, that I have a well-ordered and productive day today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.